All right, guys, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. How you guys doing? Hope you guys had a great week. I know the kids have been off from school this week. People are probably on vacations doing fun stuff. I had my weeknights off from my tutoring job, so that was pretty cool, but I kind of miss him, actually. He's a great kid. I've had a bunch of time to relax, although I haven't done much of that. It's something I rarely get to do, and when I get the time, I usually end up filling it with other things anyway. I did get to fill it up with housework, unfortunately. Not as much as I wanted, though. You know, it's kind of hard to keep up with it through the week, and it seems to be the weekend job, but got a little bit done, and it always feels good to get that out of the way. In theory, I plan to get a lot of content together for upcoming shows, and but in reality, that didn't really happen much either. So, you know, you just take it day by day. Reading some books. I did get to read a little, though. I've been reading this Stephen King book called Finders Keepers. I got it for Christmas, and I've been on and off with it. And I absolutely love reading, but it's so hard to get the time and, like, in the mood where you just read for hours and hours. I've been reading it in chunks when I get the urge to. But it's a really, really great book, and I highly recommend it if you're into reading. Stephen King is actually one of my favorite authors, and I know he's hard to read for a lot of people because sometimes he gets into some gruesome details depending on what you're reading. And if you have a vivid imagination, get a little crazy for you. So I wanted to get outside too, which I did for Easter. Went fishing. We went on the Hudson River. Didn't catch anything, but it was beautiful. And we saw this huge, huge bird just start circling. We thought he was gonna get a fish, but he flew away. That should have told us right there that we had nothing coming our way. So we moved up near the Comstock Prison up by Lock 11. Did some fishing there. It was a pretty cool spot, actually. My dad told me that there were fish there. There were not. So we ended our trip. We went out to dinner and headed home. And I hope to get outside more this week, but it's been cold, snowy, and super windy. Thought it was spring, but we are now welcoming fourth winter up here in the mountains. We had a huge windstorm, knocked out the power, and at my job, fried the hard drive of our computer. So that's awesome. There were major trees down everywhere. My boss even had to chainsaw his way out of his driveway to get to work. I also did plan to do some painting. Never got that done either. I just had so much planned to do with all the time I had. It just didn't happen. I do like to paint, though. I like to paint on canvas with acrylics. It's one of my favorite stress-relieving things. And self-reflection hobbies, which I think is really, really important to your mental health and well-being to find some self-reflection hobbies. I highly recommend painting. Painting's a really good way, even if you're not good at it. You don't have to be. It's your own work. So I've been working on this really cool piece of this girl meditating, and she's got psychedelic patterns tattooed all over her body. And surrounding her is like a light blue aura. Can't wait to finish painting it. And painting's also one of those things that I do in chunks when I get inspired. I'll spend hours on it for a day or two, and then I'll like touch it for months. So like I said, the kids have been on vacation, spending a lot of time with Noah this week. He cracks me up, says the funniest things. The imagination of a six-year-old is really something wild. He lost a tooth fishing, actually, and on my Facebook memories it came up that he lost his first tooth a year ago from like yesterday. So within the course of a year, he's lost 7 teeth. It's insane when you think about it. All right. Looking forward to the rest of today. We do have WrestleMania. Noah's obsessed with wrestling, and so it's one of the biggest event of WWE. Super pumped to watch it. The Undertaker is going to be in it, and that's my son's favorite wrestler. So he's going to be facing John Cena, and that's probably going to be the most exciting match of the day. So going off that, I really do think the importance of family time is something to be said. It helps a lot with your, like I was talking about, your mental health and just,
It also makes good memories.
Yeah.
You know, when your son gets older and is away from home, you know, and you make great memories, and that's something that you can always reflect back on.
Most definitely. Noah's always commenting on stuff that we've done in the past. I'm always seeing pictures pop up from years past on Facebook. They have those, what is it, like time hop pictures or something that come up. But anyway, let's get into today's topic, which is libertarianism. What is it? We've been talking about this thing, and I don't know if we really decided what it is yet. So I believe it's really hard for people to define themselves as one political party or another. Most of you may agree with principles of certain parties and differ on a few others. Some people just don't even know what they are. Some people don't even know what their party they affiliate with stands for. Seems to be common among people. So let's go into the main principles of libertarianism. I have something printed out here from the Cato Institute, and the Cato Institute does have some really good podcasts that I suggest. So their key principles here are individualism, individual rights, spontaneous order, the rule of law, limited government, free markets, the virtue of production, natural harmony of interests, and peace and non-aggression. So getting into individualism, basically, libertarians believe that only individuals make choices and are responsible for them, which also coincides with personal responsibility. As libertarians, we emphasize the dignity of each individual. Let's see, what else do they have here? Says the progressive extension of dignity to more people, to women, to people of different religions and different races, is one great libertarian triumph of the Western world, which I think most people are pretty much aligned with, that we are all individuals. We all have our own thoughts, our interests, own interests, and we should be able to have them without being impeded by anybody else and anybody else's thoughts and interests. Individual rights is another principle found within libertarianism. You have the right to be secure in your life, liberty, and property, which these are not granted by the government or society. I'll read something here from you. It's a right that the individuals enjoy the security of such rights, and the burden of explanation of these rights should lie within those who would take rights away. So basically, you have individual rights until you do something that allows the law to take that away from you. You're born free. You're born with rights as long as you can handle them. And until you prove that you can't handle them, that's when they start getting taken away. They should not be taken away before proven that you can't handle them. Spontaneous order is another principle. It's the order of society in that it's spontaneous, not predictable, and out of the actions of other individuals who coordinate together to achieve a certain goal. So a great degree of order in society is necessary for individuals to survive and flourish. It's easy to assume that order must be imposed by a central authority, the way we impose order on a stamp collection or a football team. The great insight of libertarian society analysis is, like I said, order in society arises spontaneously. Going on with that, over human history, we've gradually opted for more freedom and yet managed to develop a complex society with intricate organization. The most important institutions in human society, language, law, money, and markets, all develop spontaneously without central direction. Civil society, the complex network of associations and connections among people, is another example of spontaneous order. The associations within civil society are formed for a purpose, but civil society itself is not an organization and does not have purpose of its own. And again, I'm reading to you from an article from the Cato Institute, and you can go search it and look at comments and rebuttals and feedbacks and just basically broaden your education and your horizons. I always suggest to do that when you hear things before you go along with them. See what other people have to say, other views. Moving on, we do have the rule of law. Individuals are free to pursue their own lives as long as they respect the lives of others. Again, you can do as you wish. Do not impede or enforce on anybody else. Let's see here. Any rules or laws should be in place to protect the freedom of individuals to pursue happiness in their own ways and not to aim at any particular result or outcome. So let's see, what can I read to you from here? So the rule of law means that individuals are governed by generally applicable and spontaneously developed legal rules, not by arbitrary commands, and that those rules should protect the freedom of individuals to pursue happiness in their own ways. So they're basically saying that laws should be in place to protect your freedoms and rights, not to, like they say, arbitrarily command against them. And so something that we could look at is the gun laws and stuff. You can't arbitrarily create gun control laws out of, what's the word, of like, it's on the tip of my tongue. I always get this. It's like writer's block. Maybe it's like speaker's block. something scenarios.
Go back a little. To your stopping point.
They can't arbitrarily come up with laws for scenarios that might happen.
Okay.
And I can't think of the word for that for some reason.
Yeah, I know. And I'm bad at that. Let's see. They can't come up with laws that that might be foreseen and not actually know that what's going to happen.
Yeah. It bothers me that I can't think of this.
But I think it's almost like saying, they're passing gun laws because they think they can see more school shootings. But you know that if they take the guns away from people, our gun rights away, that there's a black market where those who want to hurt people can always get guns. And as we saw in Germany yesterday, there are other objects you can use to hurt people. A vehicle plowed into a crowd and killed two people and injured 60 people, or you can drive a truck full of explosives into a schoolyard and have the bomb go off. Well, that's, what are you going to do? Take somebody's rights away for what?
Exactly. Like, there's bad people everywhere. Right. If they want to impose harm on you, they're going to find it either way.
Right.
Outlawing guns is not going to make it harder for these people to get them. Right. It's going to make it harder for good people to get them.
You can't foresee what's going to happen, so you shouldn't really make laws, taking away rights of others just because you think this might happen.
Exactly. And if I come to that word, I'll bring it up. But moving to the next one for now, limited government is strongly believed by libertarians as the best way. Libertarians believe that government is a dangerous institution, which it is. They are, we can tell that they have these wars and killing thousands of people. How are they not dangerous? They seem to just be able to think that they can take things away from people, take money, take rights, take lives, throw people in cages. So the less government we have, the better. Government really should only be here to protect rights and protect individuals. Libertarians have a great concern over concentrated power, because power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. We all should know that quote. Seems like it was drilled in my head in school, but nobody seems to care about that after that. They just care about it for the test, which is another thing we'll get into with the education system down the road. So libertarians want to divide and limit power and limit government, especially through written constitution, enumerating and limiting the powers that people delegate to government. And limited government is the basic political implication of libertarianism. And they point to the historical facts that it was the dispersion of power in Europe more than other parts of the world that led to individual liberty and sustained economic growth. Moving on, we do love the free market. A lot of people don't really understand free markets. They make sense once you get into it after a while. It'll be a hard thing for you to believe in, but bear with me as we go through the journey. So free markets, to survive and flourish, individuals need to engage in economic activity. The right to property entails the right to exchange property by mutual agreement. Free markets are the economic system of free individuals, and they are necessary to create the most wealth. Libertarians believe that people will be both freer and more prosperous if government intervention in people's economic choices is minimized. So the most common rebuttal to free markets is, what about monopolies? Monopolies is a really big topic that we could spend a lot of time on. And the short answer to that is, free markets balance themselves out. When a company gets to be too big where they can be seen as a monopoly, well, maybe they're big because they're doing good. They have the lowest prices. They're doing what people want. And if they start doing bad things, people are going to stop going there. The free market will balance that out. If they start overcharging you because they're the only one, then somebody else is going to come up with the same thing for a cheaper price and try to drive them down. But everybody has this fear of monopolies, and they look to the government to take them down. And then that's when our markets become less free, is when the government steps in, because we think that they have to be there.
But do you think, you know, just a question, do you think that there are times when the government should step in and try and break up monopolies? And here's my thinking. Let's say you have, and this is what happened back in the 60s and 70s, you had several phone companies. And what happened, one company started buying all, like Southern Bell and all these other phone companies out, where now you have one phone company. Well, you have to do what they tell you to do. You know, if they want to charge, you know, whatever it is a month for your bill, you're really limited because you can't start up another phone company. I mean, imagine the hundreds and millions and millions of dollars it would take to use the lines and the poles and everything. Just like with internet. I mean, if you've got huge internet company buying all the small cable companies out, and you only end up with one cable company, I think in those cases, a government should be able to step in and say, look, it's in the best interest of people if you can have competition, because then you'll be competing with your rates to attract more customers, not because you're the only one. And I think in super businesses like that, and I don't mean, you know, in the smaller business, you know, you can do what, take over as many as you want, because I can always start a shoe store or I can always start a restaurant. But I think in real large companies like phone or cable or the power company, you know, you need competition, I think, to keep the prices in check. Is that kind of, does that go against the ideal or no?
That would go against the idea of a free market. So my answer to that would be, it's what makes a company big and successful is really their consumers. They're what drives it. And so if they start overcharging, the consumers are going to stop buying and they start dropping in numbers. And, oh, what are we going to do? We're losing all this business. They're going to have to drop the prices in time. That's how the free market balances itself out. When the government steps in, it's too soon. The free market hasn't had the time to balance that out. They basically, people get scared that they're not going to stop, but it's really in the consumer's power. The company is in the hand of the consumer. The company does not control them. It's like, say, I'll bring it down to a smaller size. Say you've got these, what kind of company could I use? Like, if you go to a restaurant and you have really bad food there, mm-hmm. you're going to review it really bad and you're going to tell people not to go there. So these phone companies that are charging, that would be charging really high prices, are going to tell people to stop using them and demand lower prices. And soon enough, they're going to have to comply with the consumers. And I think that we don't give the free market enough time to balance itself out. We just demand the government to do it. We shouldn't be asking them. It's not their place to be getting into the market, because as a free society, as free individuals, the market is ours. It's not the government's range. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're just here to protect our rights. They're not here to mess with our markets. So that would be my answer to that.
Okay.
Hopefully that makes sense. And if you, like I said, if you don't understand completely, I do suggest you do look into things, maybe listen to some podcasts. Like I said, the Cato Institute has a lot of good things. The Mises, if I'm saying that right, Mises. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of good stuff online. So moving forward, the virtue of production, it kind of goes along with the free markets. But libertarians believe in the virtue of production. We defend the right of people to keep the fruits of their labor. Let me see if I can read you some stuff from this article that I have. Let's see here. So much of the impetus for libertarianism in the 17th century was a reaction against monarchs and aristocrats who lived off the productive labor of other people. Libertarians defended the right of people to keep the fruits of their labor. This effort developed into a respect for the dignity of the work and production, and especially for the growing middle class who were looked down upon by aristocrats. Thomas Paine, for instance, wrote, "There are two distinct classes of men in the nation, those who pay taxes and those who receive and live upon the taxes." Similarly, Jefferson wrote in 1824, "We have more machinery of government than is necessary, too many parasites living on the labor of the industrious society." Modern libertarians defend the right of productive people to keep what they earn against a new class of politicians and bureaucrats who would seize their earnings to transfer them to non-producers. So basically, you have the right to the money that you make. You have the right to what you produce that's yours. So this goes into, like I was talking about in my first episode, I touched on income taxes. You go to work, you make X amount of money for X amount of hours that you work. You get your paycheck and you see like X percent of it is taken for different reasons. And that money that they take from you gets distributed to certain areas, whether it be towards your Social Security, towards healthcare, towards whatever. But you don't get to decide what money gets taken from you. You don't get to decide where that money goes. So they're forcing you to give up the fruits of your labor, which libertarians don't believe is right. And if you don't pay your taxes, they can legally by force you to do that, which I don't believe is right either. But that's the way our society is set up right now, unfortunately. Moving on, libertarians do believe in the natural harmony of interests, which is something that I recently just came across, so bear with me for this one. But libertarians believe that there's a natural harmony of interests among peaceful, productive people in a just society. One person's individual plans, which may involve getting a job, starting a business, buying a house, and so on, may conflict with the plans of others. So the market makes many of us change our plans, but we all prosper from the operation of the free market, and there are no necessary conflicts between farmers and merchants, manufacturers and importers. Only when government begins to hand out rewards based on the basis of political pressure do we find ourselves involved in group conflict, pushed to organize and contend with other groups for a piece of political power. So here, basically the natural harmony of interests is everybody has their own interests. Like I was saying before, we are all individuals. We have our own things that we like, our own interests, our own goals in life. And in a peaceful, productive society, we should not be expecting handouts to get the kind of goals that other people have in order to obtain them. Another thing that we'll go into is that libertarians believe in peace. You can tell from my last episode that I'm not for war at all. War only just brings death and destruction and unnecessarily. We disrupt family and economic life when we bring about wars, and we put more power in the hands of the ruling class. And war's usually been the common enemy of peaceful, productive people on all sides of the conflict. Going into this, something you'll hear lots of times is the non-aggression principle. Libertarians do not like to aggress. We like to be peaceful. We don't like to use force. We don't like to harm others. We do not impose harm on others, only in self-defense, which is, that's a loose term. Self-defense only if someone's harming you, you can harm them out of self-defense. You cannot say that somebody's harming you when they're not and then call it self-defense. Mm-hmm. They actually have to harm you. So going on these principles, these are my basic guidelines of how I will be applying libertarian view to current events. I'll be trying to intricate these into my episodes and take the events and see how they work with each of these principles. So last week, Rick, my broadcaster, brought up the idea of leftist libertarianism, which was interesting to me. It struck me kind of by surprise because I've never heard of it. And I did some research. And I'm more educated now. And so thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a thing. It's really a thing. And I'm surprised that it's a thing because it kind of goes against some libertarian principles. Basically, what I found was that, like he said, these leftist libertarians, they don't believe in capitalism as the best economic system for society. They believe in like socialism, and they do not believe in right to property, which was very strange to me. But I think the way I was looking at it was, I was looking at libertarian as like just one thing. I was looking on the spectrum of Democrat and Republican and looking at libertarian as like a extreme Republican side, mm-hmm. but really it has its own dimension. It's not on that Democrat Republican scale. It's its own thing, which means it has its own left and right. And so it made me change my thinking a little bit. So these leftist libertarians, which I'm not, do believe in individual rights and freedom. However, said they do not believe in the right to property. And they do believe in socialism, which has a little bit more government interference. So I don't really look at it as real libertarianism to me, but I guess they can call themselves that. They're on the left, though. Well, they're yeah, so far left.
But you have to remember that every, especially in politics and beliefs, I mean, look how many different religions there are.
Oh, so many, yeah.
Because one religion doesn't believe something that the other religion doesn't believe. And then and it goes on and on. And I think even in the political spectrum, that happens. I mean, libertarianism started out with basic philosophies. And then somebody mm-hmm. said, well, I don't like this one. So I'm going to call this group whatever. And it's going to be libertarianism is going to be in it. And then, you know, so there is a plane for everything. You know, you have an extreme right, extreme left, and then the center. And off of the center, you'll have, I think, different entities. So because when I first found this, I was very surprised because I had never heard of that before. I thought libertarianism was a belief that every libertarian followed. And when I found out that there is an extreme left to it, I said, holy mackerel, why do they call themselves libertarians then?
That's what I thought. I was like, no, yeah, right. Can't be them. Right. So there's actually a word for these guys, civil libertarians. They're limited to one segment of freedom, and it's the rights that you're given. And they focus on the individual's freedom to act how he prefers in his private life. Like they support gay marriage, legalization of drugs. They're appalled by police abuses and asset forfeiture, which is another topic that we'll take a whole episode on in the future. But other than those civil liberties, they stray away on the economic side of what libertarians believe in. And it was very interesting to me, and I'm glad that you brought that up because I learned a lot.
Good.
So looking at how libertarianism has its own spectrum, and it's not part of the Democrat and Republican spectrum, there is a right and there is a middle, and they do have names as well. So the right is where I would find myself, believing in freedom, property, life, free markets, capitalism, that's not intruded on by government. You can't confuse capitalism as like what they call crony capitalism. You hear that all the time. And that's what I was saying. When government gets involved in the free market, that's when capitalism becomes crony. And that's why people don't like capitalism. They seem to think capitalism is bad, but it only turns bad when government gets involved, which is something that we'll go into more. But anyway, the right side is where I am, and we do have a name, and I might butcher this, deontological libertarian. I didn't look up the pronunciation of that, but they take things to the extreme and apply all the principles to every single matter. They're very consistent, which is something I believe libertarians tend to believe in, is consistency. We try to apply every single principle to every single matter, and that's not something that the left seems to do. So anyway, going on, there is a middle. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a mix of both the left and the right. They are called utilitarian libertarians. I could be butchering that as well. They believe libertarian economics provides the best result for the greatest number. Many of these accept there are areas where denological libertarian approach is inappropriate because of market failure, which is what you would have been talking about. So there is a class of libertarians that would believe it's okay for government to step in and market failure. That's where that would be applied with the middle spectrum. Ground. Yeah. Okay. I lost my place. So they believe government can step in with market failure and not give the free market time to adjust, which is not where I am, but those are middle ground libertarians. Utilitarian. You guys should tell me how to pronounce these. Somebody should comment my thing with like a voice video. Check me out on Facebook. Comment it there. So anyway, these were some interesting things that I came up with. So there's a lot of different areas that libertarians can differ in, whereas the right will always apply the certain principles to every single debate. But some libertarians support a strong defense. Some believe in unlimited immigration. Others believe in limited immigration So it really depends what side of the spectrum you're talking to.
Well, you know, I think if you look at this, I'm not sure how many, but there were a great number of our forefathers who wrote the Constitution were libertarians.
Yes, yes. Most of the quotes I like to post on Facebook or that I like on Instagram or whatever come from founding fathers. They were very, very skeptical of government. They always warned us that it's a very scary institution to have. They always told us to question it. And I mean, that's why we have the Second Amendment, is to protect us from a tyrannical government, because they know what could happen if we didn't have the right to bear arms.
And that, and the fact that the Constitution is more of a common sense document, rather than getting government involved to decide for the people what should be right. And that's why I think they made it so hard to change, to take an amendment out of the Constitution. You know, you need 2/3 of the state and then 2/3 of the country. You really can't change the Constitution. And I think they were smart in doing that. You know,
definitely.
I want on the right to bear arms. There was a quote I saw on Facebook. John F. Kennedy. They had him giving a speech, and he was defending the right, not really defending the right, but promoting the right in a speech that the citizens should always have the right to bear arms. That they we should never give up that right. Because once a society does that, they're susceptible to losing their rights. And they kind of were aiming it at the opponents of President Trump, and the people that take our rights away. They said, isn't this funny that a Democratic president would say this? And it's true. I mean, John Kennedy was more of a middle-of-the-road type of Democrat than they are today. I mean, they swung left a little more today but he was pretty on. If you read a lot of his writings, you would agree that he was more moderate and to the right than he was to the left. He believed in individual rights. And I just thought that quote was kind of neat.
Yeah, when we give up the right to bear arms, we also make ourselves susceptible to slavery. We become slaves to the state. They have the power. I actually got into not a Facebook fight, but I was on a Facebook thread the other day talking to somebody advocating for gun control and taking guns away. And I told him that, listen, this is our right to protect ourselves against a tyrannical government. And he said, the U.S. government has the power to annihilate us with the push of a button. And I said, in my head, I was like, and you don't think that's crazy? You don't really think that's crazy? I found that in saying that, he said that with just so much confidence and with like not any thought of how insane that is, that our government's so powerful. And then he was saying that our army could take us out and that they would send the army on us. But no, the army's not going to turn.
No.
They're people. They're individuals, right, like us. But if we give away our right to bear arms, it's the only people that are going to have them are bad people that can get them no matter what you do. And then the government and the police. Mm-hmm. And so that leaves us helpless.
Yep.
If they want to start taking away other rights, the first thing they need to do is take away our right to bear arms. After that, they have the power to take away any right we have, mm-hmm, because they have the arms.
Right. They have control.
They do. They would have complete control of us, and we've seen that happen in other countries. I don't understand how people don't get that. So what's our time right now?
We have about
looking good.
15 minutes.
Yeah. All right, cool. So it's been a pretty good week. I've got accepted to a few platforms. I'm already on Saratoga Broadcasting. That's my home site where you can hear me live. And besides that, I am on iOS for iTunes. You can find me there. I did open up this week to Google Play, so Android listeners can hear me. That way, if you can't catch my live stream, you can hear me on your own time. I know not everybody's schedule is going to coincide with ours. And also Stitcher. Stitcher is a popular podcasting place. And so I'm on there too. And I will always be posting links to Saratoga Broadcasting, iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher on my Facebook page for you. So if you don't want to look it up, you can just find the link on my Facebook page. And I'm still waiting for acceptance to Spotify. I did apply. That one's taking longer than the rest, but it's still in process. So I wanted to go over this new thing that I saw. I found out how to get analytics to see how many listeners I've had. Mm-hmm. And so my first episode had 17, which is pretty good. I expected maybe 2. So I had 17, which was put a smile on my face. And then my second episode had 22.
Wow.
So I have a total of 39. And interestingly enough, 37 are from the U.S. And take a guess where the other two are from. It's a different country.
I'm going to say Japan.
No, close.
Korea.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, 2 listeners in Korea.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's neat.
2 in Korea.
So they must look at Saratoga Broadcasting too, right?
Yeah. I haven't looked at how many clicks are from whatever site, but I think it was 15 of them were from online.
Uh-huh.
So they must be going to. My online link is the Saratoga Broadcasting.
Sure.
So.
And just to give you some news that we'll have our music back up, our licenses. We didn't think we wanted to renew our licenses because of the expense, but we are. So once the music is back up, we had a lot of, we had probably 10,000 hits.
Nice, nice.
A month. And so there'll be more people finding out, because we do have another podcaster coming on. He'll be talking about local politics, but you know, the more the better to draw, because then they see each other's and go
from
there.
Definitely. I'm excited. The numbers are going up. That's great. It makes me happy. Yeah. Like I said, my first episode, I expected to have 2. 17's great. I love it. So anyway, I'm trying to reach out to any platform possible to make it easier for listeners to get to make it easier to search. Gonna keep an eye on these analytics and just watch things go up. I do appreciate all the support everyone gives me. And again, I do always appreciate Rick and Saratoga Broadcasting. Without them, I wouldn't be here right now.
As long as I'm alive, you've got this podcast.
So I think this is pretty much all I got for you guys. Next week, I was going to do Big Pharma this week, actually, and talk about the overdiagnosis of ADHD in children and stuff like that. But I decided to do this episode instead, because it would it's very important to your guys' knowledge as you listen. So expect to hear about Big Pharma next week, and hopefully coming up we'll do education system and police brutality and asset forfeiture, and we got lots of big stuff coming. So thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Glad to have you guys, and see you next week. Positive vibes, guys.